Why don't everyone lie on their backs? Get yourself comfortable. And as we often do in the beginning of awareness through movement lessons, get a sense for how you're making contact with the floor right now. So you can sense how your pelvis is making contact with the floor. Is one side pressing into the floor, giving its weight to the floor more than the other? Feel the two legs growing out of your pelvis. How much space is there between your legs? What part of your legs are pressing into the floor? You could feel how your feet are turned out. That means sort of the angle that your toe is making as your feet are falling open. It's a dance term. You can also get a sense for how or what parts of your spine moving up from your pelvis, through your lower back, into your mid-back, your thoracic spine, and your upper back, how you're making contact. I've heard other Feldenkrais practitioners say something like, if your back was an ink stamp and you were stamping the floor, what sort of impression would it leave? And I think that's a nice visual device to use to get an impression. And now, get a sense for how your two shoulders are making contact with the floor. Is one shoulder raised a little bit more off of the ground? So, there's two shoulder blades or two scapula, one on the left and one on the right. And see if you can sense the differences in contact with the floor between the two. And everyone's going to have a difference. It's okay to have a difference. It's just a matter of sensing it. And don't think that there's anything wrong with it, with how one shoulder blade is or the other one is, or that you'd like to correct it, or now that you've sensed the difference, perhaps you may feel like it's uncomfortable. And just don't worry about it. And then get a sense for how your arms are lying. What parts of your arms, so the upper arm, the forearm, and the hands, are making contact with the floor? The angle that they're coming out away from your body? It's like you're taking a measurement. Do you have your palms down? Or do you have your palms up? Or do you have your palms somewhere in between? And feel the length of the two arms. Sense the length of the two arms. It's one arm a little bit. I don't know what the right word would be, but feel like it has more length, or does one arm feel a little bit more compressed into your shoulder, into your body? And one of the things that we're going to do here is we're going to work with our dominant hand. So what is a dominant hand? Typically, the dominant hand is the hand that you use for, if you're used for writing or throwing a ball or these sorts of things. So if you're right-handed, it's your right hand. If you're left-handed, it's your left hand. So, but before we work on this, so you've scanned now the differences in your arms and your shoulder. And now, pay attention, is the general level of tension that you may notice, is that correlated or consistent with which hand is your dominant hand, whether you're right-handed or left-handed? So is there more tension with your dominant, on your dominant side? And there may be, there may not be. But it's just something to, it's a question to ask yourself. Okay. Hey, kid.
Try putting your head on this. I think you may be more comfortable. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Okay, so now in this lesson, we're going to be working mostly with our feet, with the knees bent and the feet standing. But it's not a requirement. It makes it a little bit easier, I find. But if you prefer to have your legs long, it's totally fine. And just for those of you who don't know what I mean, it's just having your bringing your knees up so your knees are bent at like 90 there's like a 60 degree bend in your knees maybe. Your feet are standing. If it's hard or if it's tiring, you can do it with your legs long. It's really not a problem. Okay, so now you're going to identify your dominant hand. So it's going to be your right hand if you're right-handed, your left hand if you're left-handed. And with your so I'm just going to use the word with your dominant hand. I'm not going to give left or right terminology, so just mark that. And now bend the elbow of your dominant hand so that the elbow is, so that the forearm is pointed towards the ceiling. Okay, and just let your hand do whatever it wants. The wrist is in line, so the hand itself is also pointed towards the ceiling, but the fingers can do whatever they want. Okay? So now, in this position, slowly let your wrist fall down forward, and then bring it back up. So don't worry about what your fingers are doing. Just let your wrist fall forward. So your fingers come closer to the floor softly and bring your wrist back up. And keep doing this motion and just feel the amount of effort that it takes to raise the wrist back up and how smoothly or easily your wrist falls. It's not falling, it slides down. You can almost think of it as if your hand is in some molasses or viscous oil and it's just coming down and coming up. And then as you continue doing this movement, pay attention to your forearm. Is it still pointed up towards the ceiling throughout the entire movement? Are you moving in the elbow as you do this? Can you feel any tension in your dominant shoulder? And pause and let your arm lie on the ground. Take a rest. Okay, now bring the elbow and bring the forearm, bend the elbow to bring the forearm to standing. So that'll be the terminology I'll use for the to bring the forearm into that position so it's pointed up towards the ceiling. And again, the wrist is in line with the forearm, but the fingers can be soft and doing whatever they want. Now in this position, let the wrist bend forward again so the fingers fall down towards the floor, and just let it rest here. Now. Okay. Now, with the soft fingers now, slowly, just your index finger, bend your index finger up and down just a little bit. Only your index finger, just a little bit. No stretching, no ambition to lift as hard or as high as you can. Slowly your index finger. So your wrist doesn't bend, and as much as possible, your other fingers are not involved in the movement. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to get your brain in this unusual, with your arm and hand in this unusual position, to just talk to that little finger. Hey, little finger, I'd like for you to move up and down. Could be half an inch. Could be a quarter of an inch. Could be a millimeter. And if it's hard, you could imagine it. But clarify the movement for yourself. Are any other fingers moving? Is my wrist moving? Is the elbow moving? Or can you just isolate that one finger? And once it gets a little bit more familiar, then check in with everything else. How's your breathing? Are you breathing nice and softly, or are you holding your breath a little bit? Is there any tension? Can you feel any tension in your abdomen or your pelvis? So sometimes when we try and make an effort, and we're you know, it's something hard and challenging, we also end up tensing in other places. So, but with this nice, simple, slow, soft movement like this, it's an opportunity to, once you've, you know, got the movement going, to find those other places and just, hey, relax. Doesn't need to be working. Okay, now, stop with the index finger and start moving your middle finger. So, just your middle finger goes a little bit up and down. Just a little bit. Less than you actually can. But in a way, so that you can track the movements of that middle finger in your mind's eye, and you're not involving the other fingers. And then again, scan the rest of yourself. Are you holding your breath? Is there any clenching of the jaw? And then once you feel comfortable with this, move on to the ring finger. Ring finger is typically much more challenging. So start out with that, with a less effort. May find that the other fingers really want to start moving with the ring finger. And see if you can, in your mind's eye, see the bones of your finger. See the bones of your hand as you're moving that little finger. The ring finger. Breathing. No clenching of jaw, no tightness in the abdomen and pelvis. And now move on to the little finger. So now the little finger just moves up and down. Just talking to that little finger. And then once you feel like the middle finger, the little finger, you've gotten that guy, you know, you're a little comfortable with that, then move on to the thumb. So now just bring the thumb in as if you wanted to. Here the direction's a little bit different because the thumb is an oppositional joint. But, you know, you bring the thumb in as if you were kind of going to grip something. Obviously you're not gripping anything. It was in that direction. And then back out. And then let it go. Bring your hand back down to the floor and rest however is comfortable for you. So if you want your legs to go long, if you want your legs standing, however it is good, take a break. And while you're doing this now, scan again your two shoulders and have these movements of the hand, dipping the hand down, and then the movements of the fingers. Change it all, how your dominant side shoulder is making contact with the floor. Is there a difference in the sensation of the length of the two arms? Do you feel a difference in the length between one side of the torso and the other, perhaps even? Okay. Now bring your forearm back into that standing position. Standing on the elbow, the forearm is pointed to the ceiling, and your hand is in line with the wrist. Your fingers are soft. So now, in this position, you could ask yourself, all right, which direction is my palm facing? Is my palm facing, there's a number of options, but your palm could be facing towards your torso, towards your chest. Your palm could be facing towards your feet, perhaps. And your palm could even be facing towards your face or above your head. But just note, where is your palm facing? Okay. In this position, slowly, without changing the angle of the wrist, slowly rotate your palm a little bit in one direction and a little bit in the other. So the palm comes toward, so as if it's going to turn, so it faces more towards the face, and then it turns so that it faces more towards the feet. And you do it with the wrist in line with your forearm, slowly. And don't go as far as you can. Find a nice, comfortable range. And as you're doing this, you're going to find, like, this is kind of odd. Like, why is my hand jerking a little bit? Like, why is the movement not smooth? Slowly work through those places, again, no stretching, until the movement becomes a little bit more comfortable, a little bit softer, and a little bit easier. No tension in the mouth, in the jaw. Easy breathing. Okay, I'm going to put the hand down, rest for a second, just a brief rest. Okay, now bring the forearm to standing again, the wrist in line with the hand. And now notice the position of where your palm is facing in this case. So, have you, in turning the hand, have you found perhaps a more comfortable place for the wrist to, for the palm to be facing. And now slowly do the first movement where you just drop the hand and the fingers down and then slowly raise it up. Slowly raise it up. So drop the hand down. So reaching into a pot of honey and slowly up. And see if that's changed at all. Whether it drops more easily, and whether it's a little bit easier to raise it up. And then leave the hand down in a nice comfortable position, resting. And now see where it is that your fingers are pointing. All right, this is the same, this should be more or less the same direction as the direction that your palm was facing when your wrist was standing. And so wherever the fingers are pointing, slowly rotate the forearm so you bring your fingers so that they point a little bit closer to your face, and then you rotate it back so it comes a little bit closer to your feet. And as you do this movement, breathe, no tension in the jaw, no tension in the abdomen. Now there's two bones in your forearm, the radius and the ulna. And these bad boys have a lot of potential range of motion. And they can twist around each other. And see if you can almost get a sense of how those bones are twisting around each other as you're doing this movement. Again, without any ambition, not going so far that you can't move any further, not stretching it, not jamming the joints, everything smooth and fluid. That's the learning space. And then as your fingers are pointing closer to your face, pause for a second there. Wherever it is, it's pointing closer to your face for you. And now raise your wrist back up so that your fingers are pointing, so your wrist is no longer bent. You're lifting your hand up and then drop it again. Just feel, do this motion a few times, and feel how this is different in this orientation. And then once your hand, you've done it a few times and your hand is lowered, then rotate your hand so your fingers are pointing more towards your pelvis or your feet. And pause there. No tension. And slowly lift your hand up so that your wrist is in line with your forearm and let it drop again. And when you're sick and tired of this, by all means, stop. Let your arms go long on the floor and rest. But if it's cool, try different positions. Like you could point your fingers in different positions, towards your chest, towards your head, different gradations, and you could just see. There's all these minute, subtle differences of how the muscles, you know, from your fingers across your wrist into your forearm and into your upper arm, work in conjunction. And just lifting the wrist all by itself is a complex act. All right, let it go. Let everyone's hand go. Thing, and just take a nice rest. Legs long, legs however you want to be. Now, we didn't do this at the beginning of the lesson, so it's not exactly a something that you can measure or test difference of. But if you're so inclined, gently roll your head to the left and to the right, as if you want to see a little bit to the left side of the room and the right side of the room. And notice, is there a difference between the two? And come back to the middle. And then get a sense for how your dominant arm is lying on the floor relative to your non-dominant arm. What's the angle of the arm that it's making from the body? How is the arm giving its weight to the floor now? Is it more firmly just dropping its weight into the floor? Does it feel longer? Alright, so let's get back into this position. If you had your feet standing and your knees pointed towards the ceiling, do that. If that's more comfortable for you. And bend your elbow to bring your forearm to standing. Your wrist in line with the forearm. And in this position now, slowly let your wrist bend so that the hand drops in this position, and just rest here for a second. Okay. And now we're slowly going to do this motion of turning the forearm to bring the fingers to pointing closer to the face and the fingers pointing closer towards the pelvis or the feet. And so get that movement going again. Nice and slowly. No ambition. It's a little oscillation. Your fingers are just slowly oscillating back and forth, as if there was a wind or a current gently taking them one direction and the other. No tension in your jaw. No problems. No breathing. Nice clear breathing. So just get this movement going. So it's sort of like you're not drumming, obviously, but so it becomes a bit of a there's a not that fast, but that there's a rhythm to it. That's what I'm trying to say, a rhythm. And once you have that rhythm, then slowly lift your elbow off of the floor just half an inch and lower it down as you keep that rhythm going of your hand moving. Just a half an inch lifting it and lowering it. And continue doing this. And each time, just make sure that the movement of the forearm and the rotation of the fingers is not affected by the lifting. So you can just keep that nice rotating movement going while you lift the elbow. And obviously, as you lift the elbow, your entire arm is lifting off of the floor. And as you keep doing this, you can slowly, as long as you're not affecting the rotation of the hand, keep lifting your elbow higher and higher. So lift it to whatever place, you can lift your elbow up to whatever place it is, as long as you can still have that nice rotation of the hand. The wrist is bent, and you're just lifting, and the wrist stays bent the whole time. And you may eventually be able to get it so that your arm can actually be straight. Fully straight with your wrist bent. Fully straight, pointed up to the ceiling with the wrist bent. No tension in the jaw. And then once it's up there straight, bring it back down. The whole time, the fingers are pointing to your face, towards your face, towards your feet. All right, leave that and rest. And bring your arms down to your sides. Okay, now let's bring our arms now and just have them pointed straight up to the ceiling. The entire arm, the dominant arm, pointed straight up to the ceiling. Now this is kind of the end position that we were in before, and allow the wrist to bend. So the wrist is in the same position, it's nice and bent, the arm is pointed straight to the ceiling. What happens when the arm is pointed straight to the ceiling is that you have to do less work to maintain your arm up there, because gravity is just pushing down through your shoulder and keep, you know, pointing straight down your shoulder. If you move your arm a little bit off of that thing, then your muscles have to do much more work in order to maintain your arm in that position. So find that neutral position there, pointed straight up to the ceiling, where it's as if you could keep your hand there with a soft wrist for a very long time. And now in this position, see what direction are your fingers pointed. And now, slowly, turn your arm to bring your fingers a little bit closer to your face and a little bit closer towards, pointing towards your pelvis. So now this is it with a straight arm. It's a very different movement. So let go of the ambition that you may have had by how much rotation you could get when the elbow was bent. Very different movement. So just the arm is staying straight up to the ceiling, the wrist is soft, and you just think of the fingers pointing closer towards your face and closer towards the pelvis or the feet. And once you get that, leave your fingers pointing. Stop, but leave your fingers pointing in the direction that's most comfortable for you. So it could be closer to your face, closer to your feet, closer towards pointing towards your chest, whatever is comfortable for you. And now in this position, slowly now, as if it's sort of like an inverted pendulum, let your hand and your arm swing a little bit so that you bring your hand closer to your feet. So now it's no longer rotation. It's you move the arm and the hand closer to your feet and then bring it back. So you bring it a little bit out of pointing towards the ceiling and you bring it back. And then you could even continue and bring it a little bit so the arm goes a little bit above you, just a little bit, just a few inches, and oscillate between, so it's like you're making an inverted pendulum, your hand. So it swings just a little bit down and a little bit up. Your wrist stays soft the entire time, soft and bent the entire time. And feel how you're making, how that movement of the arm shifts the weight on the back of your shoulder blade. Moves the weight on the back of your shoulder blade. and pause in the center. Soft, soft wrist. And now we just went sort of up and down towards your feet and towards your head, right? We could also take the hand and the arm left and right. So a little bit across yourself to the left and a little bit to the right. And the movement just needs to be a few inches or an inch or half an inch. You could even test yourself or challenge yourself. How small of a movement can I make with my arm where I could still feel that movement inside of my shoulder? I could still feel the change in pressure along the back from this gentle movement of the arm. And leave it, bring your arm down to the floor, and rest. And as some of you may have already done, you can check in to see how your dominant arm is lying on the floor. And check in with the fingers of the hand. How is the hand just all by itself now lying on the floor? Check in with the two shoulders. Is there any difference between the left and the right side of the pelvis? Or even the legs? And now, bring the dominant arm so that it faces up towards the ceiling again. In whatever leg position is comfortable for you, so you could, legs straight or bent is fine. And let the wrist be soft, the wrist is bent, fingers are just loose and hanging, no effort at all in the fingers. And so we just did pendulum movements sort of up and down and to the left and to the right. Can you now slowly make a circular movement with the hand so that the arm also moves in a circle and the whole length of the arm inscribes a cone? If you remember from geometry class, a conical section. So your wrist is soft and bent, your fingers are soft, your arm is straight, but there's very little effort in your actual arm, and you just slowly are making circles. The movement is coming from your shoulder and from the center of you, but what ends up moving, the thing that you're thinking about, is your hand. Specifically when I do it, I'm thinking of the back of the wrist. And then check, you know, am I really making a circle with the hand, or is it more like an ellipse or some other type of shape? And then slowly change directions. So, if you're making clockwise circles, make counterclockwise. Feel how that movement is creating a circle on the back of your shoulder blade. Let it go. Let your arms down onto the floor. Rest. Okay, now bend your elbow to bring your forearm to standing and bring your wrist in line with your forearm. Now in this position, slowly bend your wrist to let your fingers drop down and elevate it back up again. So you let your wrist drop and then you bring your wrist back up so that it is in line with your forearm. And just get a sense, how has this movement changed? Do you feel the dimensions of your hand have changed during the course of this? When you bring it back, you just need to bring the hands back into line with the wrist. You don't need to bring them backwards. Just in line. And as you continue doing this movement, feel what happens to your fingers as you do the movement. So when your wrist is in line with your forearm, how are your fingers? If you're making absolutely no effort, and then as you let the wrist drop, what happens to your fingers? Again, without making any particular effort in the hand. And what you're going to find is that the fingers have a tendency to lengthen and straighten when you drop the wrist. And if you're not making any effort, they have a tendency to curl when you bring the wrist up. So just sense that. Soft hands, soft fingers, soft breathing. Now bring your wrist so that it is in line with your forearm. And now in this position, with the fingers as they are, now actively straighten the fingers just a little bit. So just have them just slightly straight. Okay. Now in this position, bring your thumb in the direction of your little finger. So it may not touch. It's okay if it doesn't touch. You don't want to stretch. Just bring it as if it were to touch the little finger. The other fingers, if possible, don't allow them to move. So it's just as if you wanted your thumb to touch your little finger. And pause. And now move your little finger as if it were to touch your thumb. So just slowly in the direction of your thumb. All the other fingers being quiet. And pause. And now move the little finger and the thumb together so that they touch. And this will be quite a bit easier. And they touch and come back, touch and come back, touch and come back. All the other fingers, the three middle fingers, are soft, not moving. Okay, let it go. Let your arm rest on the floor. Alright. So, bend the elbow to bring the forearm to standing again. The wrist is in line with the forearm. And now, the middle three fingers are doing what they need to do, but touch the thumb and the pinky finger together. The thumb and the little finger together. And just hold that. And now, bend the wrist. So with the thumb and the pinky finger together, bend the wrist down and just let it rest. So now your wrist is in that bent position, your thumb and your pinky finger are together. And it's bent down. And in this position now, with the three other fingers, your ring finger, middle finger, and index finger, gently straighten them a little bit more and curl them. But there's no change in the orientation of your wrist. So as the wrist stays bent, you just gently straighten those three fingers and curl those three fingers back to their starting position. Without changing the angle of the wrist, without creating any tension in the shoulder, without clenching your jaw, and slowly let that go. Bring your hands down to your sides. And again, scan how you're making contact with the floor. Scan how you're feeling the two sides of your body. Scan your right hand, or not your right hand, not everyone here is right-handed. Scan your dominant hand. Sense how the size of your hand. Sense the length of the fingers in the dominant hand. And compare that to your sensation of your non-dominant hand right now. Sense the angle that the two arms are making as they come out the body, away the angle that they make as they're coming away from the body. Is there a difference? Is there a difference from when we started the lesson? Is there a difference in the orientation that your hand and your forearm rest on the ground relative to when we started? Roll your head gently from left to right. Just to see, how easy is it to initiate that rolling? And has all the work that we've done with the fingers and the hand and the forearm and the shoulder affected the rolling? And once once you've examined yourself on the floor, then slowly roll to your side and come to sitting and stand. And standing, just stand, feel how you're making contact with the two feet on the floor. And without looking at your hands explicitly, get a sense for where your two shoulders are on your back, the height of your two shoulders. Get a sense of the length of the two arms. and walk around the room a little bit. As you're walking around the room, take a look at, most people did their right, in fact I think everyone did their right arm, that was a mistake. So take a look at people's shoulders as they're walking and see if one shoulder is different than the other, perhaps lower. Feel how your arm swings as you're walking. And that's it. Thank you.